pray. All right, turn in your Bibles this evening to Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter 11, I want to read the first six verses of this chapter, and I'm speaking tonight on the thought, a prison house perplexity. A prison house perplexity. And you'll see what I'm talking about when I read these verses here before us. Matthew 11, verse number 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight that because of the amazing saving grace of God, most of us tonight in this service could give testimony to the fact that it's well with our soul. And the only one that can cause wellness of the soul is the one who died for our sins upon that cross and paid our sin debt in full. And we thank you tonight for the free gift of salvation through the precious blood and the privilege of having a peaceful heart and a peaceful mind in the midst of a world of turmoil and distress. Thank you tonight for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, I pray now your blessings upon our time together in the scriptures. May the word of God this evening address needs upon all hearts of those that are not only here, but those that are viewing this service tonight through Facebook and YouTube. Father, meet needs tonight. If there's someone that cannot say, it's well with my soul, may the gospel of Jesus Christ tonight penetrate their heart, their mind, their soul, and may they be saved. Now, Lord, bless us tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give you just a little bit of the background of this passage of Scripture. It seems to indicate to me, as I've studied it, it seems to indicate to me that John the Baptist was a little bit perplexed. He was in prison. And at this particular time in his life, he's perplexed about something. And I'll talk about that in just a moment. I want to remind us all that John was cast into prison because of his fearless preaching. John had been cast into prison because he had exposed sin in the life of Herod, the king. John didn't call any punches. He simply called it what it was. And he mentioned the fact that Herod was literally living in sin, and it didn't go over too well with the king. And so the next thing you know, John is in prison. Now, if you want to know a little bit of the details as far as what we're talking about there, I would remind you that Herod the king had taken his brother's wife. And the woman's name was Herodias. And he had married her. And so John rebuked and exposed that particular immoral issue that was going on. And, of course, it went over like a lead balloon, and the next thing you know, John the Baptist is in prison. So he had preached publicly about this vile and unlawful relationship. And he had been arrested. And then, of course, he was incarcerated. We see here in this chapter that he is perplexed about something. Something has him a little bit bothered, and that might be an understatement. He's bothered about something. He's perplexed about something in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's perplexed not at the person of Christ, because keep in mind, John the Baptist had already promoted him, had already identified him, and we know that John the Baptist was a forerunner of Christ, 6 months older than the Lord Jesus. And John the Baptist was the one that had already said in John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. So I'd point out tonight, his perplexity did not have anything to do with the person of Christ in terms of really who he was in terms of his deity. But I believe the perplexity of John had probably something to do with his mission, not necessarily who he was as far as his deity was concerned. Now, I also would point out tonight, it's amazing, I know that I've preached this many times before, and I think I have handled it from the standpoint that John's in prison, and with everything considered that's going on in his life, he's probably down and out, perplexed, and so forth. But you know, the more I study this, the more I'm not so sure that's true. I think his perplexity was for another reason. I never will forget when I was in Bible college, I heard a professor one time made a statement. You know how a lot of people would just get up and start preaching and, you know, just start rambling on and, you know, making these bold statements concerning, you know, within the message. And this professor, he said, you know, he says, amazing how a little bit of Bible study will mess up a good sermon. And I can kind of relate to that. You know, sometimes we study and study and study and we preach. But then, as we keep studying and looking at a particular portion of Scripture, we see things that perhaps we hadn't seen before. And that's kind of where I am with this account of Scripture right here. And I will explain that in just a moment. So I don't necessarily think that John's perplexity was in the context of depression, but rather it had something to do, I believe, with this. Now, John believed that Jesus was God's Son. He already said, "Behold the Lamb of God." But I think that John the Baptist was a little bit perplexed as to why Jesus hadn't already dealt with the sin, the state of things that were going on, why he hadn't already dealt with it, why he hadn't already dealt, judged the evil around and the oppressors. It's not that he's questioning directly the person of Christ, but it would seem to me that maybe he's questioning the method of Christ. In other words, why hasn't he already dealt with the oppressions that are going on? Now, I will say this for what it's worth tonight. All of us do struggle from time to time with questions, with perplexities, sometimes with doubt, with confusion. And I don't really care how long we've been saved and how strong we might be. Before we're anything else, we're human beings that have questions from time to time. I believe that anyone can qualify from time to time to be a doubting Thomas. I believe that we all have those times in our lives to where we wonder about some things. We question some things. We have some doubt. We have some fear. And sometimes we even ask ourselves some deep questions. I don't think it's necessarily strange and out of order that a Christian maybe sometimes will wonder, am I really saved? You know, am I really secure? Or did I make a mistake when it came to the matter of my spiritual choices? And maybe along this line, what if Jesus isn't really the way to heaven? Or maybe the question, what if the Bible is not really the Word of God? Or maybe the question, can I be sure that God really takes care of my needs? I've met a lot of people down through the years that have been saved for years, but yet still had these doubts. Still got to a place in their life to where they may wonder if they're really saved. Now, what are we talking about here? We're talking about human nature. We're talking about the fact that we're still in the flesh. We're still human. And sometimes if situations in our life, if the perfect storm happens, like maybe we're sick, we can get depressed, We can have a lot of things caving in on us at one time. And Christians, at their best, can still sometimes have doubt. I've heard people say, "When I got saved, I've never doubted it ever since." Well, I don't know about you tonight, and I'm preaching. I'm pastoring this church. But I can tell you sometimes I wonder, how in the world could God have saved me? Or, you know, I've had a few doubts myself from time to time. And now, don't all y'all walk out on me here. I'm probably expressing how a lot of you all feel. There are times that we do go through doubts. But thank God this evening, the security that we have in Jesus Christ is not based upon our feelings. It's not based upon what we think. It's not based upon how we feel. It's based upon what God has said. And if we have taken God at His word, then we can take the Bible to the bank. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. It is a done deal. It's established because Jesus finished the work. It'll never have to be redone. So we can hold on to the fact, regardless of how weak we might get due to the flesh that we wear, God is still in control. Salvation is still real, and eternal still means eternal. And I'm glad of that this evening. I'm glad it's not based on feeling, but it's based on fact. Now, he's in Herod's prison. John is. And by the way, he's going to get martyred. It's not going to end too well for John. He's in prison. And John here, in this account of Scripture, he questions whether Jesus is the Messiah. You know, that's the basic thought there. He had previously been convinced. He had already said he must increase, but I must decrease. So while he's in prison, he sends some disciples out to inquire of Jesus. He tells his disciples, he says, go and tell him. Well, actually, he goes and the disciples go and see Jesus. And then Jesus gives those disciples words. He said, you go back to John, and here's what I want you to tell him. And of course, I've read that. Give John these words, and I'll kind of paraphrase it here. And it's as though Jesus said, now, when you talk to John, disciples, let's imagine we got the disciples here. When you go back, and when you talk to John, here's what I want you to tell John. You go and show John again those things which you hear and see. And to be specific, Jesus said to the disciples, he said, tell John this. Tell John the blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. And the dead are raised. And the poor have the gospel preached unto them. You tell John that. That's exactly what the context says. Just go back and tell John that. And by the way, disciples, let John know, in so many words, I am the Messiah. And now, here's a point. And show him, by the way, John the Baptist was the last of the Old Testament prophets. John the Baptist would have known the prophets. He would have known what the prophets had written. And so the disciples could have said, you tell John that what John has already read in Isaiah chapter 61 has literally already come to pass. In fact, here's what it says. Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Disciples, you go back, you remind John the Baptist that precious passage of prophecy that he's already read and believed, it's come to pass. See how that will affect him. See how much longer he'll be asking, is that the Messiah? Just remind him of the fulfillment of prophecy. Remind John. And I'm kind of living, paraphrasing it here. Remind John that the mission of grace precedes the mission of vengeance. Let John know that vengeance will happen. But right now, it's a mission of grace. It's the poor having the gospel preached to them. It's the blind receiving back their sight. It's the lame walking. In other words, John the Baptist needed to know that Jesus, in terms of his mission, the mission of grace would precede the mission of vengeance. So John, everything's okay. I've got it. You're going through a whole lot in prison. There's a lot of things that's happening. Wickedness is abounding in all those things. But John, just calm down. I've got it. I'm the Messiah. And everything is in order. And when you look around and you hear of the accounts of the blind getting their sight back, the lame walking, and the gospel being preached to the poor, John, put it together and understand that only the Son of God, the Messiah of Israel, could do that. I believe that's what we see here. What's Jesus doing? Healing the sick, raising the dead, the gospel being preached to sinners. The one that you announced, John, by the way, John announced him, behold the Lamb of God. The disciples would tell John the Baptist, Jesus would tell them that. The one that you announced has his methods right. Grace precedes wrath. I am the Messiah. I love this passage here. I really do. To me, it makes me appreciate the Word of God more. I mean, it's thrilling here. You know, and here's where the rubber hits the road. Here's where we really can, like I preached this morning, our light can come on. You and I tonight in this church service are living proof of exactly what Christ said. We're living proof. I mean to tell you this evening, when I look into the face of redeemed people, when I hear about the answer to prayers, when I see what God is doing, why, that makes me very happy. I'm glad tonight that this same God that we read about right here, He is still working today in people's lives. He is still saving people's souls. He's still doing a wonderful work of grace. That's pretty good stuff there, isn't it? The proof of who He is based upon where He has been and what He's done. If there's any question tonight as to what God can do, it may pass to look at what He's already done. If there's any question tonight about the power of God, what He's able to do, we also need to look at what He's already accomplished. We can trace His blessed footprints all through the Scriptures. We find Him in one place after the other. We see His footsteps throughout the Word of God. We see the footsteps of Christ. His footsteps are in every book of the Bible. You agree with that? Every book of the Bible. I see His footprints in Genesis chapter 1 when God said, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, or in the beginning God created the heavens and earth. I see His footprints in Genesis. I see His footprints cradled at Bethlehem. We just came through the Christmas season. The mystery and majesty of His birth. I see the footprints letting us understand tonight He's exactly who He is. I see His footprints controlling difficulties and even in control even of death. I see His footprints in the lives of God's people who are able to deal with problems and deal with issues of life and go through heart-wrenching experiences, but yet come out still with peace in their heart and soul. I see the footprints of Jesus Christ. I see His footprints He was crucified at Calvary. The pain of his death, the payment that he made for our sin. I see his footprints in the fact of his power that is given to Christians tonight, to where they're more than conquerors through him that loved us. I see the footprints of the Messiah. I see his footprints at the cross or at the tomb, the empty cross, the tomb. I see his footprints in the fact of Scripture that says he's coming back. I'm telling you what, he went up through the clouds, he's coming back down from the clouds. I see that he is Messiah. I'm convinced of that tonight. Aren't you? I think of his resurrection. How they found a napkin neatly folded in a garden tomb. Kind of tapping into the custom of the time that when a napkin, it was a custom at a time when food was eaten, at the time of the table, rather than wad up the napkin, if the napkin was neatly folded, at tying into the custom of the time, that indicated that the person was coming back, that indicated that it was not all over yet. And I'm telling you the truth, it's not all over yet. It might seem like it's over. It might look like it's over. It might feel like it's over, but thank God it's not over. Because he's coming back, thank God. Yes, disciples, you tell John that I'm exactly who I am. I am the Messiah. We see him everywhere. We see him in the Old Testament prophecy. We see him in Old Testament typology. Could I give you an example or two? We see him as a seed of the woman in the book of Genesis. We see him in Isaac, when Isaac was offered up. We see him in Joseph, who perfectly sets example and type of Christ. We see him in the Passover lamb. We see him in Moses, as Moses was a deliverer that brought the people out of Egypt. We tonight know that our Savior is a deliverer. We see him in the manna that come down from God out of heaven. We see him at the rock struck at Horeb, when the rock was stricken and water came out. We see him in the tabernacle. We see him in the brazen serpent lifted up. We see him in the cities of refuge that were developed. We see him as a captain of our salvation. We see him as a kinsman redeemer. And think about now the book of Ruth. We see him prophesied by David, don't we? David said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We see him prophesied by the prophets. Or typified, or rather prophesied, as I said, by the prophets. We see him in Isaiah chapter 53. We see him in Psalm chapter 22. We see him throughout the Bible. Yes, he is the Messiah. There's no doubt about it. There's no question about it. He is who he is. And don't you like this? Look at verses 4 and 5. I'm not done yet having you all look at the Bible now. You all understand that. Don't expect me to do it all. I want y'all to look at verses 4 and 5, please. Look at it. Jesus answered and said unto them, and I can stop here, go and show. Boy, that would make for some good application. Go and show. You know, that's what Christians do. We go and show. We go and tell, don't we? That's our mission right there. Go and show, and by the way, I might also inject the word glow. Go, glow, and show. Well, what about this? I see that in the Gospels, don't you? Go and show. Well, what about this? What about the man that Jesus cast out the demons? Y'all remember what happened there, don't you? Luke chapter 8, verse 39, return to thine own house. And show how great things God hath done unto thee. That man wanted to follow the Lord. But Jesus said, nope, not now. Go and show. First of all, go home. Let your family know what I've done. But go and show what great things. That's what we do. I've been trying by God's help for over 50 years to go and show. That's what I'm trying to do here tonight. I'm trying to go and show in the fact that before our eyes is God's word right here. And this is God saying, go and show anyway. But go and show. We need to tell about what he's done, right? Tell about what he's done. Never get tired of bragging on Jesus. Never get tired of telling about his wondrous grace. Always keep your testimony handy. Be ready always to give an answer of any man that asketh you for the reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. Always be going and telling, going and showing, making it known. I mean, we're not saved to be a bunch of FBI agents, are we? No, we're put out in the open. We don't have a private ministry going on around here. It's public all the way. Go and show. And if you're having trouble tonight, going and showing, you need to pray about it. And trust God to help you do it. Because after all, I'm standing here tonight preaching to you as a sinner saved by grace because someone went and showed and told. I wouldn't be here. A preacher got up and faithfully preached the gospel. So go and show. By the way, the salvation that God gave us is not something the Lord wants us to get real tight with and clam up and think within ourselves, well, I'm in the ark. And the rest of the crowd, they can just get in the best way they can figure out. Nope. That's not the way it works. Go and show. That's what it says there. We need to tell about what he's done. Amen? We need to sing about what he's done. And if I understand it right, that's what we've done this evening. What about this? Sing unto the Lord. For he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. We're preaching about what he's done. We're telling about what he's done. And we're singing about what he's done. Psalm 89 verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Never quit doing it. Keep going and showing. That's what we're to do. The Christian life, by the way, is a go and show affair. What it is. Go and show. Go and show by testimony. Go and show by faithfulness. Go and show by sharing the gospel. Go and show by edifying and uplifting other people. Go and show. That's what it is. Show in our words. Show in our deeds. Show in our demeanor. One of the greatest demeanor showings is the joy of the Lord is my strength. We're showing when we have that joy radiating forth. Because I'll tell you one thing, this world looks like is all puckered up all the time, isn't it? Where are you finding any joy and happiness in this world this day and time? If any of y'all know, let me know about it, would you please? I see nothing but gloom and doom. The news is full of it. When you look in the faces of people going up and down the streets, is full of it. When you have angry drivers on a highway blown at you because they're mad and they can't wait just until that light changes or as soon as it, here's what makes me so mad. And my wife sometimes is pretty bad about this. We're sitting at a light and the light turns green. And no sooner has it turned green, she's saying the light's green, Chuck. Doesn't that aggravate you? And if you don't go though, you'll be hearing some horns behind you. I've never seen such an impatient age in which we're living. People will not, like the old Andy Griffith show, they need to slow down. Remember, we're sitting on the porch now. Somebody will go down to the market and buy a bottle of pop and bring it back. Then we'll take a nap sitting on, you remember the old Barney Andy thing, don't you? Well, that, you say, does that have anything to do with your message, preacher? Not really. I'm just kind of got off track a little bit here. But the point I am trying to make though, and I know exactly what I'm saying here, I think going and showing is a part of our Christian demeanor. I believe it's a part of how we look, how we appear, and the joy that radiates from our lives. There's not a person today in this church service, but doesn't have, that isn't saddled with some kind of a pressing issue. Guess what? That's life in 2024. That's where we are. World's pressurized. There's stress all around us. But I've read the Bible through and through like you have. And I find nowhere in Scripture that gives you and I a break. I don't care how tough we have it. None of us are given a biblical break for being stern and sad and gloomy. And our disposition looking like, looking as sad as a mule eating briars. No, no. Go and show. Let it show on your faces, on your countenance. Have a spring in your step. Don't ever get over what God did for you. Never get away from your testimony. Never. I remember years ago, one of the assignments that I had in Bible college was to the students were told to write their testimony out. Just get a piece of paper. Now you don't have to get paper. You just get on the computer and start typing. But just reflect. Type out when you got saved. Put it down. Here's where I was in my life. You don't have to go in a lot of detail. We don't brag over the rotten past. But just kind of put it down to where, and by the way, it'll be a blessing to your children and your grandchildren anyway. Here's how I got saved. I was in a state of misery, despair. I was lost and undone. And I got to an old gospel preaching church, and I'm telling you mine again. And that old preacher preached the gospel. And I was burdened about my sin issue. And I put it off until the next service. And it was then. Choir was singing, "Just As I Am," without one plea. And thank God through the Holy Spirit's help. He singled me out. And I was the one, just as I am. I came and he saved me. So I'm saying it's good. It is good to constantly go back. Remember when you got saved. Put it down. Reflect on it. Go and show. Be quick to tell. If we were to line everybody up here tonight on this platform, we'd ask every one of you to give your testimony when you got saved. How do you feel about that? What would you say? I hope nobody's vague about it. I hope everyone's clear about it. I hope you can go back to a time. I'm not saying it has to be exactly pinpointed time on the calendar, like, for example, December the 5th or November the 2nd or whatever. But do you remember you were there when it happened? Do you remember the time? That's what I'm talking about tonight. I'm leery when someone can't remember a time. I'm not too upset when they can't remember the date, but I am concerned when they can't remember the time. How can anything so profound, so heart-changing, so traumatic, how can it be forgotten? I mean, I know that sometimes we might get sick, but I'll tell you, there's always going to be traces of a genuine salvation. It's going to be showing up anyway. We can't get over it. Go and tell. I close with one final verse. This ought to remind us this evening. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's 1 Peter 2:9. Go and show. Yes, disciples, you tell John, he can calm down, everything's okay. I am the Messiah. And by the way, if John needs any extra confirmation, just remind John of why he's where he is right now in prison. He's there because he's saved, called to preach. He's the last of the Old Testament prophets. And his very life testimony itself proves that I'm exactly who I said I am. He's still the Messiah. Thank God tonight. He hasn't changed. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He still gives grace and peace and joy, even in the midst of a rotten time that we're living in. Let's pray. Father, thank You this evening for who You are. And Lord, thank You for a passage of Scripture such as this one. And Lord, we can relate to the fact that the blind can see because we were blinded. We couldn't see until you saved us, Lord, and our eyes were opened. We can relate to how the lame can walk because we used to be crippled, could not walk in the ways of God. But salvation has given us the ability to walk in the paths of righteousness. So, Lord, we see our own testimonies in this passage of Scripture. And yes, Lord, when you came to us in our despair, you found one who was poor, but the gospel was preached to us poor people, poor, poverty-stricken in sin. So we know tonight by our own experience even that you're exactly who you say you are. Thank you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy salvation so rich and free. We tonight gladly say that with joy. Heads are bowed for just a moment. I wonder tonight if maybe the Holy Spirit has fingered around an issue in your life, maybe a disappointment, maybe a despair, maybe some kind of a grief, maybe something tonight that's robbing you of joy and peace and real stable happiness. And maybe tonight, as you sit and heard the Bible and heard it preached, not because of any specialty about this preacher necessarily, but the plain old truth of Scripture, has it helped you tonight to realize that God hasn't changed? He's still able today to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, and He's able to do today exactly what He did 20 years in our lives. If He's blessed us in the past, He's still blessing us. If we found His power to be adequate in the past, we still can find His power adequate for right now. He knows about the changes of our lives. He knows about the condition of our lives. He knows exactly this evening where life finds us right now. But He hasn't changed, and His Word hasn't, and His power hasn't. Now, if you're here this evening, and you just simply say, Preacher Peters, I just needed this. God just spoke to my heart about something in my life, and I see it. I see it a little better. But would you just pray with me this evening that God will help, that I'll trust God to help me to apply these truths as I go out of here this evening. Just pray for me. Anyone will raise your hand and say, would you just pray with me about these issues, things that God spoke in my heart about tonight. Anybody will slip a hand up and just say, pray with me, Pastor, about it. God knows what it is, but just pray with me. Anybody in the service. Father in heaven, bless the invitation. Do what needs to be done. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.